We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. 2019 marks the 45th anniversary of the birth of hip-hop. This Friday, the Marcus Center will play host to Hip-Hop DNA Volume 1. Produced by Karen Vadula of Cue the Sun, Hip-Hop DNA will explore almost five decades of music and dance and also pay some special attention to Milwaukee's own hip-hop scene. The list of participating Milwaukee musicians and dancers is long and impressive, and one of them, Webster X, joined Karen Vadula and me in the studio to talk about hip-hop, life, and everything. We will hear more of that in just a bit, but first of all, I want to welcome Webster X and Cue the Sun, Karen Vadula. It is so great to have you both in the studio.
Hello, hello.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So we're going to talk about hip-hop today, and we're going to talk about it in sort of a big sense, and I know there's a great performance that's coming up that we'll talk about as well, but it's like 45 years. We were talking about that before we turned on the microphones, and I realized that I was stunned to realize the number, that it has really been 45 years since really the birth of hip-hop. I thought it was much younger than that. And it's been, maybe because it just feels like it's part of the culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that 45 is the mark of when hip-hop as a style, we know it, but hip-hop is really a continuation and the story of America as a whole. So I think the story even goes back to 1492 and before, as far as how these instruments and these rhythms and these different cultures came together to finally turn into what we call hip-hop today, which really includes every style of music ever within it.
So tell me, what was the moment that was considered the birth of modern hip-hop?
So, yeah, this is the most, it's pretty much universally recognized as the birth. In 1979, a DJ by the name of DJ Kool Herc, who was living at the Bronx at the time, and in the 70s, the Bronx was literally looking like a third world country, crumbling buildings, no kind of resources, nothing.
It was a war zone.
Yeah, literally, between the gangs and everything. But music, as always, was the saving grace for the spirit of the people, particularly the young people, as well as visual art and dance. But there was several DJs who started hosting these kind of underground parties at youth centers and at different public spaces out in basketball courts. And that was happening for a while through the 70s. And also in the 70s, the downtown disco scene was really blowing up for the first time. That didn't really exist like that in the 60s and prior to that. So there was the party culture of this kind of glitzy, you know, highfalutin crowd downtown. And then you had the people in the Bronx and the smaller boroughs of New York, and obviously in other states around the country. But DJ Kool Herc's party started to become more recognized because he wasn't really playing the disco music, because, you know, as every era of music has, there's people who like the modern day mainstream and there's people who are looking for the original soul. So he was sampling from James Brown and several artists from the previous soul and funk generation at his parties. And people were connecting with that more raw sound. They just felt it in a better way. So more people were dancing at his parties. So when more people are dancing, they're having more fun. So more people start coming.
So he was the one who did the double.
Yeah. So what happened is, once he found those records, he noticed that there was particular moments when the singer stopped singing and most of the band dropped out. It would drop down to pretty much just drums and a funky bass line. And that became known as the break. So he took the technique that the downtown DJs were using, of using two turntables to fade back and forth. But instead of playing the whole songs, he was like, well, people are dancing the most during these breaks. So what I'll do is I'll either get the same two of the same record or another record that has a break in a similar tempo. And then instead of playing the full song, he could just transition from one break to the next. And therefore, and me knowing this from experience DJing too, the dance floor is a very sensitive thing. You can kill the dance floor with one wrong move. Or it's kind of like a video game, like the power-up button. Like the more good you give them, the higher energy goes. And so that's really what it was about, was getting people to dance longer. That popularized his technique.
So Webster X, when did you start doing this stuff?
When I start rapping?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I technically didn't really start doing it until I was about 14. It's really funny because what we're about to get into today was actually the first song I actually wrote a rap verse to, which was Lil Wayne, 6 foot, 7 foot. So, yeah, man, I just got into it through, you know, things like what was, you know, really popping during my age, which was the 50 Cent era, the Lil Wayne era, the Jay-Z era, Black Album era, you know, that was really it for me, and that's what kind of sucked me into hip-hop. But I would go back, you know, do my homework, and my sister showed me Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders, and that, like, flipped my world upside down, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a classic.
Oh, yeah.
That is classic. And that's, that to me, that's where I think of when it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's still today known as the golden era because, you know, like I said, that music started as a party music, but in the early 90s with groups like A Tribe Called Quest and many others, De La Soul, it started bringing the more spiritual and political knowledge with the lyrical swag and the cool beats and everything. So it kind of reached that perfect blend of party music and spiritual knowledge itself type messages in there, and then obviously it continued to evolve into other things over the years, but that's what it was at its sweet spot of really what hip-hop culture is all about.
Well, and this concert that you guys are doing, Hip-Hop DNA, I'm assuming with the word DNA in there that you're looking back,
yeah,
but also pushing it forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I made, you know, this show is called Volume 1 because it's really, the music in the show is one leaf on a giant family tree. There's so many artists that I'm not touching who I'm a big fan of, like Nas or Outkast. And but the way I chose the songs for this particular show were based partially in their creativity or how the sample might have been used. The fact that certain samples have been used in multiple hits over the decades. And I wanted a combination of the foundational songs from that time of DJ Kool Herc and songs from today that represent the trap sound. And, you know, both of us work with a lot of high school and middle school students, and we want to make this something that's not just for people in their 30s and 40s, but that we can get the teenagers interested in that as well and feel like the music that they know as hip-hop is also represented in this.
How does Milwaukee fit into the greater hip-hop history and story?
It doesn't yet on a national scale, but the thing is, Milwaukee and with us, you know, having seen many iterations over the years, we really have a similar circumstance as the Bronx in the 80s. In the way, like, hip-hop almost started from ground zero here in the late 90s in the same way that it started in the late 70s, mm-hmm. You know, coming out of immense racial inequality, segregation, and there was a lot of early artists who were doing things and kept getting shut down, you know, parties and youth centers and all these things. But finally, it's at a moment now where there are resources, whether it's radio stations or, you know, other local organizations that are now really opening their doors to the culture. And
the internet.
Yeah, the internet has opened it up, and that's played a big part in Sam Webster X's is his ability to use the internet to branch out of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's brought a lot more energy and attention. And then a lot of other artists have been following in his footsteps and stuff too. And again, it comes out of the idea of we didn't have resources, so we just met up at friends' basements, or we started our own all-age venue, or, and now that's progressed to the point where we're able to, even though we don't have a definitive sound, we have a definitive culture that we're building because we have a lot more ownership over it. And we're seeing all the large arts organizations are now, you know, they're celebrating the work of this local scene as a way of really amplifying the overall arts and culture of the whole city. So I think that's really what this show is about, is celebrating the community that I feel is, for one, very misunderstood, and a style of music that's very misunderstood, but has done so much, not only for this country, but like for this city, especially over the past 5-6 years, as the city's really been growing in a lot of ways. And I say that hip hop is the true American dream, because you can take Bach, and then you can take some Hungarian hand clapping folk rhythm, and you can take, you know, Afro-Cuban vocal, and you can mix them all together through sampling, and all of these cultures can exist, and cross-influence each other within
that. Yeah, I think one of the big misperceptions is that when you talk about grabbing all of these different influences, I think what I hear is that, well, it's not real music.
Yeah.
It's just stealing sounds. And what people, I think, don't understand is you're composing.
Yes.
You're actually composing. It's just like taking any other sound and putting it on to whatever you're writing. And so it is a composition. This is, you know, what you're doing, and you're going to show us how you, or at least a little bit about how you do it.
Yes.
You're composing.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with rapping over it, with the lyrics. You're composing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, to me, from the outside looking in, is one of the big misperceptions, is this is not real music.
Yes, yeah.
It's just kind of like, oh, yeah, anyone can throw that crap together. No.
Right.
Well, let's hear something.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Tell us what this is.
So I wanted to share a few different samples before I have Sam share one of the songs that we're going to be performing. And the other thing about the show is we'll be performing all the electronics, all the sample with a completely live band. There'll be no pre-recorded loops. There'll be nothing like that. This is Diana Ross's I'm Coming Out. And this is the original, intro to that song. But basically, this is sampled in a song called Mo' Money, Mo' Problems, which if you're my age, this was every school dance, everything. So then, so this is just a verbatim. He took that intro, looped about 8 bars of it, and then added all these other percussion instruments, and then this is just the instrumental of it, but then, got a great song off it, and this is one of the biggest hits of the 90s. That's kind of more looked down upon, even in the producer world, because, you want to show more creativity with it. The other type of sample that I really love is when it's kind of an artist that's sampled that you would never readily associate with hip-hop. I think I was on here once talking about nostalgia music with Mitch, and songs that your parents love and stuff. Harry Belafonte was a big fat favorite of my dad's, but Harry Belafonte is known as this very spiritual, very politically minded artist from this kind of golden clean cut era. And then for a Harry Belafonte song to be sampled in a Lil Wayne song, where if you look at Lil Wayne, he's an alien from another planet, right?
Well, particularly compared to Harry Belafonte. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not saying this to take away from his artistry, because he's one of the most influential rappers, definitely of this generation, but maybe of all time. But just from a physical and lifestyle standpoint, two diametrically opposed people. Yeah, you'll hear both the 6 foot, 7 foot in the intro to the beat, and then you'll hear the stock banana to the stock banana in the background of the beat for the verses. So
pay close attention.
Here's the Webster X remix of 6 foot, 7 foot by Lil Wayne.
Yeah. Hit up DNA. Hey. Excuse my swagger, rapper with an actor. Kill every line every time that I have to. Aiming for the green like I was playing in the Masters. Graduation day, my haters clapping in the rafters. Money in that Cobra clutch, shorty's playing double dutch. Be my sermon, Uma Thurman, hit you with that one inch punch. Mess around and spill your lunch. Peter Piper had a hunch that I'm a genius in the game, and you were looking like a dunce. Dancing with the devil, but an angel hit the Harlem Shake. I don't want no parts in that, I Ricky Bobby shake and bake. I Rick and Morty had to space, you're looking at the head of state. Hold up, wait, I am not a bouncer, but I see the fake. Searching for the soul, I think I found it through Anita Bake. I'ma hear a nitty beat and let the bass seal my fate. Smoking that original on the pace. She looking real sexy, I'ma kiss the face. Someone to go like you in the bay. You looking at me crazy, you can catch the fade. Plead a bit to beat the case, then I see you round the way. Throw your hands up, y'all, and say, hey,
hey, hey.
Turn 13, Boga Hall, Hip Hop,
hey.
DNA.
Hey,
cue the sound production.
Hey, 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 hey.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that.
That happened in the studio.
Spit all over the mic.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. So give me the details. Who else besides you two is going to be in it, and where and when?
Yeah, so all of the members of New Age Narcissism will be in the show. Lex Allen, Lord Freddy, Siren, Webster X, Chris Gilbert, who will also be choreographing. A good amount of my students from COA Youth and Family Centers, like from the 10-year-olds to the teens, will be in the show. We've got Panadansa Dance Company. We've got Arabi School of Dance, which is an Indian style. I had to represent my own culture, too. So we've got some Kathak dancers and Bollywood style dancers. We've got traditional break dancers. We've got Vincent Van Great. We've got Cecilio Negron, from people who recognize him from De La Buena. So it's really a cross of, we got Be Free. It's a cross of so many musical styles and musicians and singers. Marcy Daniel, and a lot of younger artists too. I'm one of the, at 35, I'm one of the oldest people in the whole show. Most of the people are in their early 20s and teens.
It is going to be such a good night.
Yes,
thank you so much. Such a good night. I want to thank you both for coming
in
and sharing a little bit of it. It was nice to get a little lesson
yes.
on how all of that gets put together and to hear about the history of it. But here's to another 45 years.
Thank you so much.
Hey, cheers.
Kieran Vidula's Cue the Sun is producing Hip Hop DNA Volume 1 this Friday evening at the Marcus Center. Webster X will perform along with a number of other Milwaukee-based musicians and dancers. There is a link to more information at WUWM.com.